What's up, everybody? Matt Kajewski here, back again with the Stochastic Channel. And today we're talking some college basketball DFS ahead of the Sweet 16, the Thursday slate. Before we get started, make sure to hit that thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when this and all other content goes live. If you're listening on podcast, please leave a rating and review over there as well. We are brought to you by Bet365. And if you're watching, you can see the banner. There is a phenomenal offer for you guys right now with Bet365, where you can make your first deposit, bet $1 on any game, and get $365 in bonus bets. This wager is only available in New Jersey, Colorado, Ohio, and Virginia. But if you're in one of those states, head over to Bet365, deposit, make a $1 bet, just put it on something easy like Creighton. They're -520 on the money line. And get your $365 in free bets. You can use it all throughout the rest of the Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, and whatever else you like to bet. So make sure to check them out. The link is in the video description below. All right, we're talking some DFS today. So let's jump in. This is our player data usage tool, which is available in our March Madness package and on the other college basketball packages you might have. You can still get the rest of March Madness for $40 in. There's a lot of slates left there. It includes the NIT as well and the CBI. But let's dive into this. We're going to talk our first game, which is Michigan State, Kansas State. The spread in this game is -2 in favor of the Spartans. The total is 137.5. This is middling in the context of this particular slate, but still pretty decent overall. And we'll start with the Michigan State side. They're a team that shoots threes pretty well, but they don't shoot a ton of them. Instead, they try to jam the ball on the interior to Joey Hauser and Madi Sissoko with little success, but they've been able to get to this point in the tournament through some fluky wins over USC and Marquette. Marquette had 16 turnovers and 18 fouls, which interestingly enough, Michigan State is terrible at generating both. So kind of a fluky performance. Kansas State, they get over Kentucky, which was a big win for them. Montana State, I think a better overall level of competition here. So I'm surprised they're a dog. But starting with the Michigan State side for DFS, you do have a player in Joey Hauser who's priced to play $7,500 on DraftKings. He's playing 35 minutes a game, 17.5% shot rate, 20% rebound rate thereabouts. And he actually has some assist upside here too. Much of the offense flows through him. And from a price-adjusted standpoint, he makes the most sense. Tyson Walker, he's a little bit cheaper, but he's going to be a bit shot-dependent for you. Does have 21.5% shot rate and a 28.5% assist rate, but Hauser is far more likely to reach a double-double than a guy like Tyson Walker. And A.J. Hogard, he's priced a little bit above Hauser. It's kind of the same thing there. Hogard has a monster assist rate, 40.7%. Shot rate at 17.5%, but you're still looking at more double-double upside with Hauser, more block upside with Hauser. Hauser plays more consistent minutes than both Walker and Hogard. Hogard battled some foul trouble in the last couple games, so I would still expect him to jump above 30 minutes here. All three are fine plays, but if you're looking for just the best play out of this group, it is Hauser. Hogard, Walker, I would look at more for GPPs. Jaden Akins rounds out the starting three guards. He'll play about 30 minutes per game. He's actually shooting the ball a lot recently, 20% shot rate, but on the year, he's typically a wind sprinter. I would expect him to take more of a backseat with Hogard not battling fouls. And then you have Malik Hall, who's kind of the biggest wild card on the team. I thought this guy was going to come in and play about 30 minutes per game for Michigan State, but he's been banged up, has reached 28 minutes in back-to-back tournament games, which is good for him. He has a good rebounding rate and shot rate per minute. It's not going to appear in this chart just because these are percentages of the team's shots, rebounds, assists. But on a permanent basis, he projects well. If you were to ever give Malik Hall 30 minutes, he would be a standout play here, but that just hasn't been the case. So he's more of your GPP dice roll. And then I'm not really expecting anything from Madi Sissoko. He just comes on the floor and immediately fouls. Not a very good offensive player. All he does is rebound. Carson Cooper's dependent on Sissoko fouls to play more minutes. So even at 3,100, I'm not sure he's a solid value play. Jackson Kohler has been benched, essentially. On the Kansas State side, you've got two usage monsters in Keontae Johnson and Marquise Noel. Both are elite plays, really regardless of price. We've seen Noel push 10K at times this year. Both play every single minute, and I mean like 37-plus minutes. Noel has elite rates across the board, team-leading usage, nearly 24% shot rate, 13% rebound rate, 60% assist rate. He actually has double-double upside via assists, which you can't say about a lot of guys. Completely fine, but I do not think the gap should be as wide between Noel and Johnson as it is. So Johnson stands out as a supreme play here. 25% shot rate, 23% rebound rate, 20% assist rate thereabouts. It's at 19.2%. Michigan State's weak inside. Hauser is a bad defender on the interior. Johnson, he's not your traditional forward. He's not like playing the five or anything, but he does have rebound upside and he has plenty of shot upside. He's not much of a fouler. And even when he does foul, this isn't the, you know, Michigan State two foul auto bench straight to the bench for the rest of the half. Key Johnson still will have some minute upside regardless. We saw him fall out of the third most recent game. He still played 30 minutes. So he's an awesome play here. And with so much of the usage coming between these players, it's hard to target anyone else. Naquan Tomlin has played anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes in the last three games, and his usage isn't great. If you get him up to 30 minutes, he projects as a strong play, but really anything below that, he's kind of middling to below average. I'd rather just find the salary to get to players like Hauser. Desi Sills playing around 30 minutes now. He's a win sprinter. Cam Carter at 4K flat has seen his minutes cut now that Desi Sills is back from injury. But the one redeeming factor with Cam Carter is he's 4K, and you're probably going to get like 22 minutes out of him. So maybe he's a value option for Cam Carter. David Nguessen, he's in that forward merry-go-round that features Ismail Massoud, Iola, Tyke Green. Like, there's five forwards this team is going to use, and Key Johnson's playing every minute. From there, it kind of depends how much does Tomlin get. If Tomlin plays 30, you're not going to have usable games from David Nguessen or Ish Massoud. But that remains to be seen. That's why they could be targetable for GPPs. This is a volatile situation behind Key Johnson for the most part. Second game, Arkansas-UConn. This game is the second best total on the slate at 140.5. Spread is 3.5 in favor of UConn. On the Arkansas side, since the return of Nick Smith, we've seen them essentially play just four forwards. And basically one of these guys plays 20 minutes and the rest of them play like 35 plus. And it's kind of been volatile which one is which. So first things first, Rick Council, I think, is the best price adjusted guard for this Arkansas team. Has played almost every single minute the last two games. 19% shot rate, 19% rebound rate, 22% assist rate. Anthony Black is battling an injury. I think this is only precautionary. He came into the game with a foot injury, was put in a boot after. I think this is just to limit him and get treatment. Doesn't really seem to be at risk. But regardless, minutes are consistent, but his rates are worse than Rick Council really across the board. On the year, over the course of the season, I think I'd rather just save the money and play Ricky Council instead of Anthony Black, but Black should be a decent GPP play. Devo Davis has been somebody whose minutes have been volatile, 31, 30, 37, just not quite as consistent as Black or Council. But Devo Davis has elite rates, over 20% shot rate and rebound rate, 13% assist rate to tie this all off. And 6,200 is a really good price for Devo Davis. The odd man out recently has been Nick Smith. Just some horrible play to start the tournament. 16 minutes and 28 minutes. I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Smith pops up to 39 again or if he goes down to like two. We've seen both happen for Arkansas, basically on the whims of their head coach, which brings us to the forward position where the whimsical nature of Eric Musselman has been on full display. Mekhi Mitchell's played anywhere from 19 to 30 minutes over the last two games. Jordan Walsh has played anywhere from 24 to 33. Mekhi Mitchell, who's played over 20 minutes at various points this year, played zero in the last game, three the game before. Kamani Johnson, who didn't appear in their third most recent game, went up to 19 in their most recent game. Even Jalen Graham has made a slight appearance. I don't know how he determines these minutes other than a pure dice roll. And I guess if you play anyone, it's probably just paying down for Walsh. He looks like the most consistent here. But if you told me Walsh went from 33 minutes to two, I wouldn't be surprised here. The Arkansas forwards are reserved for big tournaments. Otherwise, I don't really see any need to play them in smaller contests. You're just taking on a ton of risk here with their coach being a moron. On the UConn side, Adama Sanogo leads UConn, had a lot of player of the year recognition in the Big East before Tyler Kolek won it. I didn't agree with that. Adama Sanogo is awesome from a usage perspective. The problem is he only plays 28 minutes a game right now. God forbid UConn use him in a 30, 34-minute role, which we've seen at times in his career, but this team is deep. They don't need to do that right now outside of fouls. Even in his 28 per minutes per game, he still has a 26% shot rate and 30% rebound rate last three games. So if Sanogo, for whatever reason, were to get 32, 34 minutes, he would be an awesome play, and he's already a pretty good play at his price regardless. From there, you had Jordan Hawkins battle fouls in the last game. He's typically playing 30 minutes a game with good rates. A little bit shot dependent on Hawkins, but man, 6K is such a cheap price for him. Was really surprised to see him come in this cheap. And from there, Andre Jackson's only 6.4K. Since his foul out game against Marquette, he's played 34 in 35 minutes. He's more of a peripheral player, but if he ever walks into a decent shot game, which he has plenty of times this year, he's somebody who's a good player at 6,400. And I isolate these two because your third, fourth, and fifth option, really, Tristan Newton and Alex Caravan, they've seen an increase in minutes due to fouls around them from Hawkins and Andre Jackson. And they're both priced at 6,100 and 6K. I would rather just find the players that are more used in this offense and take on either a cheaper player in Hawkins or a more expensive player in Jackson. The one exception here is Tristan Newton. Actually, is pretty consistent usage across the board. 13% shot rate, 12% rebound rate, 32.5% assist rate. Wish the shot rate was a little higher on Newton, but I don't think he's quite as crazy as Caravan, who literally is just a wind sprinter on the floor. And these players, Caravan, Newton, I think have a little bit of a limited ceiling because UConn plays a deep bench. They play Joey Calcaterra, Naheem Aline, Hassan Diarra. These guys all get a handful of minutes here, which really prevents guys like Caravan Newton from playing 38 minutes a game like you see in a lot of other spots. So I think the UConn bench is kind of hard. My three favorite guys to go to are Sanogo, Hawkins, and Andre Jackson. FAU Tennessee, this is the worst game environment on the slate. 131 total, 5.5 point spread in favor of Tennessee. The FAU side is tricky. They run a 9-man rotation. Excuse me, still getting over this sickness I've had for 2 weeks now. The 9-man rotation has been really tricky to evaluate in the tournament, but they've condensed it at times recently, especially with the competitive games against Memphis and Farley Dickinson, LOL. Jonell Davis and Elijah Martin have been the two players that have really taken on the most usage in those competitive games. Both have been over 30 minutes a couple times in the last three games. Jonell Davis, 21% shot rate, 22.5% rebound rate, 11.5% assist rate. He's fine. But Elijah Martin gives you a little more savings, 26% shot rate, and a 17% rebound rate for him. Both solid numbers. I think it's fine to play one of these guys. I don't have a strong preference between them. But if you're playing multiple lineups, this is a spot where I'm probably making a rule saying at most one of Davis or Martin, just because the team total for FAU is so low. This game environment's terrible. And Tennessee is the number one defense in the country. So I don't really want to sink two 7K players of my salary into Jonell Davis and Elijah Martin, but I'll play one. Not forcing one in, but if I get one, I'm not going to be upset about it. I'm not going to try to remove one. From there, the other starters, Brian Greenlee and Nick Boyd, are going to play mid-20s in minutes. I don't have a ton of interest in these guys. Boyd would be more interesting to me, just because his rates are better, you know, 14% shot rate, 15% rebound rate, 21% assist rate. But you're paying for that. He's 5,400, whereas Greenlee's 41. Obviously, Greenlee not as involved, highlighted by a 10% shot rate. But at 4,100, that could be something you look at as a value play. The last starter, Vadislav Golden, he just plays 20 minutes a game. As a forward, he'll mix in with Giancarlo Rosato. The other forward really that mixes and matches with him, both are about 20 minutes a game. Neither are particularly interesting at their price. And last one to mention, Jalen Gaffney off the bench, about 22, 23 minutes a game for him. Another wind sprinter, but if you're considering Greenlee, I think you should consider Gaffney too as just a potential pivot in the same price range. On the Tennessee side, this team lost Zakai Ziegler earlier this year, pretty recently actually. and they have been using Santiago Vescovi as a usage dominator since then, especially in the Duke game. And Vescovi taking a ton of shots. I think there's a lot of upside for his usage to come up from that 16.5%. He's an interesting contrarian play at 7,500. I think Vescovi should be somebody we look at there. And then the other player I think that's fairly secure is Josiah Jordan James. Has played 29 and 33 minutes in the first two tournament games. Just battled injury down the stretch. Otherwise, Josiah Jordan James is probably a 30 per minute game player. His rates leave a little bit to be desired, but they are on the increase. If you can see 17% shot rate, 22% assist rate last three, rebound rate, you'd expect to come up here as well with him kind of playing that small forward position for Tennessee. So he's interesting, price adjusted. From there, the rest of the team is volatile. You're going to take on some risk at the minutes. Julian Phillips, awesome defender. His minutes have been cut below 20 last two games. No fouls, so that's a concern. And, I mean, they're going to do this from time to time. Jemai Meshack had played 31 and 28 minutes. Minutes were cut to 19 in the last game. Tyreek Key had played 27, 31. His minutes were cut to 23. Tennessee won by 13 points. So, you know, perhaps this is just them taking their foot off the gas a little bit, rotating their players in a little bit more with Duke not being entirely competitive. I think that is possible. But you're also still going to see guys like Jonas Adu. You're going to see Juris Plavsic, if he ever figures out what sport he's actually playing, just immediately comes on the floor and fouls. But he sucks. I mean, he shouldn't be playing anyway. Toby Awaka, he plays. Like, these guys all play for whatever reason or not, whether they're good or not. Tennessee will use them on the floor, making this ancillary rotation a little bit volatile. So basically, to sum it up, I think you've got two secure plays in Vescovi and Josiah Jordan James. From there, I will play some Meshack and Tyreek Key, but you're running the risk of this Tennessee rotation getting nasty. Final game and our best game for DFS, Gonzaga, UCLA. Fast game, 145.5 total, 2-point spread in favor of UCLA. Gonzaga right away, they are number one in offensive efficiency and 175th in defense. This team is horrific on defense. Drew Timmy at 8,900 is a complete value play, even among the studs. We've seen him play 36 minutes. You know, when games are tight, I think he plays well into the 30s. Only 32 last game in a 3-point win, but, you know, when all the chips are down and this is a matchup nightmare for UCLA, on the other end, I think Timmy could push for 34, 35 here in certain game scripts. Just elite usage across the board, nearly 20% shot rate, rebound rate, and assist rate. And he's not even close to 10K. So love Drew Timmy here. They've also solidified their rotation a little bit. Their secondary usage guys are Anton Watson and Julian Strother. I would just rather find the money to play Timmy in a vacuum. But between the two here, Anton Watson's been way more involved than Strother. 13% shot rate for Watson, 30% rebound rate, 27% assist rate. Great peripherals if he walks into a shot game. Strother a little more shot dependent, 19% there, but also a 19% rebound rate. So kind of gives you outside chance at a double-double. The last two starters are going to be Rasir Bolton and Nolan Hickman. As you can see, based on these minutes, when games are tight, they will increase both their minutes. Rasir Bolton at 4,600 could be in play for value here. Both of these guys are kind of win sprinters, but Rasir Bolton's actually been a little more involved than Hickman of late, and you save a lot of money by going to Bolton. So at 4,600, I don't hate him. And then Malachi Smith should be mentioned just in the case that if Gonzaga blows out UCLA, that's when Malachi Smith's minutes increase. It's a 2-point spread, so that's not likely, but if it happens, you'll probably see 20-plus from Malachi. If it's close, you probably see around 15. On the UCLA side, Jaime Jaquez has just crazy usage over the last three games. 30.5% shot rate, 29% rebound rate, almost 15% assist rate, playing every single minute, solid usage rate for him. 10K is a fair price. Drew Timmy is a horrific defender. Jaquez should be able to do whatever he wants. Timmy's not going to guard him, but, I mean, this defense, I don't really see how Jaquez is limited by anybody on the court, honestly. From there, Tiger Campbell is also just increasingly more involved in the offense. 21.5% usage rate, 40% assist rate, 18% shot rate. The price gap makes sense here between Jaquez and Campbell. You don't have as much double-double upside with Tiger Campbell, but plays every single minute, has an amazing floor via the peripherals, and shot rate's pretty good here too. I think he's completely fine. The injuries to UCLA have also pushed Amari Bailey into this elite category with a 19, almost 20% shot rate, almost 17% rebound rate, and 27% assist rate playing every single minute last three. They just need Amari Bailey to play every minute because Jalen Clark's out for the year. They lost David Singleton for a portion of the last game. Looked like he literally had his leg amputated, and then about 30 seconds later, he's bouncing around. I don't know what it is with these college basketball players, but never know how hurt they actually are. At 1 minute, it looks like they're done for the year. The next minute, they're just back on the floor. Singleton looks like he's going to play here. Luckily, he's just a wind sprinter anyway. You could use him as a value play if he's healthy, but basically his playing doesn't really take anything away from Bailey. And then last, Adam Bona, the forward that really is kind of the glue to the lineup, returned from his shoulder injury but only played 21 minutes. He'd be a dicey GPP play. I'm more interested in his status for the Gonzaga side than playing him himself. But if Bona is a little healthier, he should push for like 28 minutes. If he's still banged up like it appears he is, you'll see a handful of minutes for Kenneth Nwuba. And I guess Dylan Andrews is the name we should mention if Singleton misses for whatever reason. But ultimately, Hawkes, Tiger Campbell, and Amari Baylor are all really strong plays for UCLA in the best game environment on the slate. That'll do it for us today with the DFS breakdown. Let me know what you think of this video, any plays you like, any you don't like in the comment section. I'd love to hear it. You can reach out on Twitter. I'm at @Matt_Gajewski if you would like. Otherwise, we'll be back again tomorrow breaking down more of the Sweet 16. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.